Well, God bless you all, and I'm Kim from England. And for a lot of you that don't know us, me and Lawrence, I've met Lawrence about 38 years ago now, and it was Lawrence that shared the word with me. He asked God for a woman that was going to, well, he wanted a wife, that's what he wanted. But a godly wife. He wanted someone that was going to believe in God. And when I first met him, I didn't believe in God. But I had many questions. Many, many questions. For those that are new to the word, you know, I wanted to know why the children got hurt. I wanted to know why the world was such a wicked place. And, you know, if there was a God, why did he allow these things to happen? Because my knowledge of God was very little. My nan used to share little things with me, and little verses of scripture and things, but I didn't understand. And so when I met Lawrence, and he told me that he was a believer, and that he had prayed to God for a godly woman, I said, well, I'm not her. I don't know anything about God. I don't know, but I do have many questions. So questions I would ask, and a lot of them he could answer, but some he couldn't answer. So we decided to go on a search. So we did Pentecostal, but that was a little bit too exciting for me because they would do cartwheels down the aisles and, you know, praising him, and I was still very shy and a bit sort of insecure about all what was going on around me. And we went to Methodist and Baptist, and we even went to spiritualist churches, and not one of them seemed to be able to answer the questions that we had. So then we decided that God was a personal God, and that anything that was going on in our life, he had the solution. It wasn't about a religion, it wasn't about a church, but that God had the answer for each individual. Now, I'm sat here now, and I know a few people, but I don't know their intricate lives and how they live at home when the doors are closed. So I can sit here and I can preach a good sermon, but that would be me. That would be me preaching to the already preached. But God knows your hearts. God knows what goes on when you close your doors. He knows what you're going through, and your desires and your heartaches and your struggles and your questions. Only God knows. So we started to pray, and we would pray together about certain things that was going on in our lives, and then gradually we would see those prayers getting answered. Now, when you pray something to God with nobody else around and that prayer gets answered, your enthusiasm and your faith grows in your trust in God. And so then we went on a journey, and what a journey it's been over the last 38 years. We've had our ups, we've had our downs, we've had our tears, but God has never left us, forsaken us. He's never let us down. Sometimes prayers take a while to get answered. We may think, well, I'm praying this now, God, and I need it now. But see, God's timing is perfect. And he never, ever forsakes you. He'll never leave you out in the cold. And if I think I explain anything about our journey, I don't mean to have my back to you either, Siri. But
it's okay. I hear you very well.
Yes.
I still hear very
well. Because Mum can't see my lips.
I also would hear you.
You can hear me. Okay. So, you know, the journey that you take with God is a personal God, right? It's personal to you as an individual first and foremost. God wants your heart healed with him. So in John 3:16 it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And that verse of scripture means so much to me because I have two sons. And I can't even imagine giving up one of my sons for people I don't know. Sacrificing my child for people I do not know. But God said, you know, I am doing this for each one of us and all the other Christians and believers out there. That is why God so loved each individual. He knows every hair on your head. He knows when you're hurt. He knows when you're blessed. And all he wants to do is for you to have a personal relationship with him. And I think through our 38 years, we have never played church. Huh. Every church we went to, they had nothing to give us. Yes, there was great people. Yes, there was great chit-chat and talk. The minister would get up and I'd feel condemned at the end of his sermon. You know, I'm thinking, oh, he's preaching to me. He's telling me off. Like, he's up there and he's giving it. But see, God wants you blessed. When the words come from God, they are to edify, to build you up, to bless you so that you don't feel condemned. You know, we live in a world which is very cold and it's a dog, I don't know if you know the terminology, dog eat dog. You know, it's people are out for their own skins, you know. Everybody will trample on everybody else to get to the top. But with God, it's not like that. God has his arms open and God is love. Now, in the Old Testament, yes, there was 10 commandments. But we now live in the age of grace. We do not live under a law, but God says that there are two commandments that we can live by. And the first one is that we love God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, and we love our neighbor. The person that you are in contact with, the person that's right next to you, whether you're on a bus stop, whether you're in a shop or a cafe, that is your neighbor. That is the person that you love unconditionally with God's love. Because see, we can all make a perfect sermon. I can sit here and quote scripture after scripture after scripture. But it's God that works within us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So as we speak, we are speaking the inspired words of God to meet people's needs. You know, only God knows. You know, Jesus Christ didn't walk about with a Bible in his hand saying, oh, just one moment, and he flicks through 15,000 pages to get to this verse of scripture to give to someone. God gave him that revelation that when he spoke with power, he spoke with conviction, and signs, miracles, and wonders followed him. Why? Because he believed and trusted in his one true God. So we can do the same today. You know, we are not, we live in the world, but we are not of this world. We are passing through. And while we're passing through, we have a responsibility to teach and preach and encourage God's people. And basically, that's what we've done over the last 38 years. And we've had our knocks, we've had our ups, we've had our downs. But I can honestly say that man has been faithful the whole 38 years. He has never gone a day without ministering to someone or sharing the word with someone, encouraging someone. And he's had his tough times. He's been on his own with only God that was really backing him up and encouraging him to continue. And so what God does for one, he'll do for all, because God is no respecter of persons. Whether you've been in the Word 5 minutes or 38 years, he is not bigger and better than anybody else in this room, according to God, because God loves us all equally. He is not a man that we put on a pedestal. even though he's my husband and I do put him on a pedestal, that's my opinion because I'm married to him. And, you know, and I say, money, honey.
But, he... Nice thing, no.
And, no, he doesn't. He says, how much? And I go, this much. Anyway. But, see, God is the one that exalts us. We don't need people to put us on pedestals. When we share the word, we're not doing it because we want you to love us and support us. We do it because we do it for God. And God is our sufficiency. So it was about 20 years ago that Lawrence gave up his job. And you can imagine, if any woman sat here now, you know, if you're used to a monthly income coming in, and all of a sudden your husband or your partner or whatever says, well, actually, I'm not working anymore. I'm going to rely on God. And I froze. I absolutely froze. And I was like, okay. But God doesn't throw money out of the sky. God isn't a man that can put money in your bank account every month. It's okay, I'll go to work. I'll support you. And he started laughing. And I said, don't laugh, I'm serious. He said, well, I'm serious too. I'm telling you, within 6 weeks, you will not be working. And I was like, really? Like, I couldn't understand. And the reason I'm sharing this with you is because I'm just showing you that anything is possible with God. When you believe, when you have that ounce of faith, just a little tiny seed of a mustard, the smallest seed is a mustard seed. And God says, if you have that much faith, you watch him go to work in your life. So anyway, I went to work. And the first month I'm working, because obviously you have to work the month before you got paid. I'm working hard and I'm just seeing that God is blessing us. But then we had a big bill come in and it was like £1,000. And I said, okay, let's see what your God does now. and he sat there and he said, okay, God, I have 5 days to pay this. And actually it was our rent. So it was a big thing. It was like our roof over our head.
We were just going to lose the house.
Or we'd lose the house. £1,000. We had 5 days. And I said, well, if it comes in a check, that's serious trouble because that takes 5 days to clear. So he said, okay, God, you have never let me down. So I am coming to you and I need this £1,000. However it materializes, it'll have to be cash or somebody comes and pays with me. And then, I think this was on the Sunday, and then on the Wednesday, we have a knock at the door. And FedEx. Now, FedEx is not type of courier company that travels around the UK. We have DPD, we have Prime, we have all sorts, but FedEx is not usually one that we'd ever see. And it was a FedEx guy, and he knocked at the door and he said, Mr. Tor, can you sign here, please? So Laura signed, and it was like about the size of a shoebox. And so we received it, and I said, what is it? He said, I don't know. So he undone the brown paper, and then inside the box was another package, and he opened that, and there was £1,000 cash.
Wow.
Sent via FedEx, and we never told a soul, right? Well, we found out it was a lady from America, and she was sat praying one day, and God told her, you must send this amount of money to Lawrence Tor.
Amazing.
And she was like, Lawrence Tor, I've had like one or two dealings, I know him, but I don't, you have to send this to Lawrence. And even to this day, we still have contact with her. She supported Lawrence for quite a few years when he first started off. And now she's moved on to help others. But she was walking with God, and just those prayers, God told her exactly what to do, and she followed through, and it built our faith. Not in the lady that done it, but in God, because it was God that we had prayed for. So, you know, we can see what goes on in churches. You know, we can go there with our best hat and our best dress, and we can fellowship with the people, and, you know, we can hear the sermon. And but it starts here, in the home, personal, sharing your lives, encouraging one another, blessing one another. You know, we are a family. We are God's family. And there is no greater love than the love of God. And so you don't have to have any fears, any worries, or any doubts. But what you do have is faith, confidence, and trust in the living God. And he's not made of stone. He's not made of wood. He is a living God. Right? And he lives in each one of us. So John 10:10 says that the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus Christ says, but in contrast to what the adversary does, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And then in Romans, it tells you how you are connected to God, how you get born again. Because you believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And if you believe that in your heart, then God puts his spirit within you, and that will never ever leave you. So that is direct communication with God. He's the one that encourages, right? Adversary comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God allowed and made it available for Jesus Christ to come into our hearts so that we can live a life which is more than abundant. And is so simple. Do you want to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 10, verse 9? Whoever gets there first can read it out.
In Norwegian?
Yeah, you can do it in Norwegian.
I'll do it in English then. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Norwegian?
For dersom du bekjenner Herren Jesus med din munn, og tror i ditt hjerte at Gud har oppreist ham, fra de døde skal du bli frelst. For med hjertet tror en til rettferdighet, og med munnen bekjenner en til frelse.
And that's how you get born again. You believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and God places his spirit within you. And that spirit, once you are born again of God, it's like I gave birth to Carl, I gave birth to Leanne, and I gave birth to Danny, our three kids. And yes, some other woman can step in and be their mum, but it's not their birth mum. I'm their birth mum. And it's just like when we believe Romans 10, 9 and 10, we are God's kid. Yes, we may have an earthly father. We may have a father that takes care of us, but it's not by blood. But this is by spirit, which is even bigger than blood, right? That spirit that was within you. Now, God is spirit. We can't see him, but do you see the air that you breathe? But you feel the wind, and you know that you can breathe, because you're... And that's just what it's like with the spirit. But it dwells within you. And so there is nothing bad when it comes to God. You know, he gives us every enablement to be successful. And I use it in the fellowship. You know, if you're a hiker and you have a rucksack, and you're going to hike 20 miles up a hill, you will fill that rucksack with the things that you need to accomplish that task. Water, good shoes, maybe a rope, you know, maybe a spade or a few hooks or whatever you need. And it's the same with God. God enables us with everything we need to be successful. See, because the word also says that God never made a failure. So even if you're having a tough day and you don't feel very successful, you just remind yourself that God never makes a failure. He will always make us to be successful. He will always promote us in whatever area or capacity we are at. When we stay faithful to him, we will have no fears, worries, and doubts, because our trust will be in him. And I share in the fellowship, you know, I can't impart my faith that I have on you. But what I can say is, if you truly have something going on in your life right now, you go quietly, go to your room, go to a quiet place, and you pray to God. You pour your heart out to him, and then you watch him go to work in your situation. And I'll tell you what, there's no better or bigger way of trusting God when you know that you've not told another soul, but God has come through in that situation. And it builds your confidence in him. It builds your trust in him. That you start to realize that the more that the world gets colder, the more God's arms around you gets warmer. And that you are so loved that he gave his only son for you.